Well, thank you, Brother Maxwell. We appreciate the good message and song. I do appreciate, I know Hector was gone. A lot of folks are gone here in the holiday situation. And we had a great cantata. How many of you were here for the cantata? And then Jesse's, not Jesse, but Hector's used some of the music from that and repeated it. So he is not getting senile. He does know he done that before. But I told him it's just a waste, seems to me, like, to work that hard and put on a great program like they did at cantata and then just not ever use it again. So he did good. And not only that, we were desperate. All joking aside, it was good, and we appreciate it. I want you to open your Bible to the Old Testament. I want you to go to the book of Hosea, Prophet Hosea. You get over to Daniel, go to your right, and pick up Hosea. It was written probably about 600 years, a little more, maybe 675 or something before Christ was born. It is a book of prophecy. It would not be politically correct today to properly analyze and preach and teach the book of Hosea. You'd get accused of all kind of things that would not be politically correct, but we don't really care about that crowd. We go with the Bible anyhow, amen. But anyway, we're just going to attempt to not be long tonight. I said attempt. I've always wanted to preach 20 minutes, but I've never been able to do that. It just took longer. I want to talk to you a little bit about this thought a little bit here. Brother Bert hit it a while ago. Don't be fearing 2019. There's a lot of things that ought to inspire us right on through till Jesus comes. It ought to keep us inspired. And knowledge does inspire often, and it revives us. And I tell you what, in this day and age of liberalism, God's best people need reviving. No doubt about it. And there's a difference in some of the faked up stuff today. Some of the stuff that's not real and what is real. And there's a difference sometime between the two. A lot of deception going on. I think about the fellow that was on his way to work. He probably worked in one of those high-rise buildings, you know, and was smart in his particular field. But on the way to work that morning, he had a flat tire. And his car stopped in front of the asylum. And he was changing the tire, and he kept watching a guy that was watching him through the bars, looking at him. And as he changed the tire, he bumped over the hubcap and knocked every one of his lugs down in the drain, in the storm sewer there. Boy, he was under a dilemma. How am I going to keep this tire on my car to get to work? Guy still watching him out of the bars, and finally the guy spoke up to him and said, I'll tell you what, dude. Said, go around to the other tires, take one lug off each one, come back and put the spare on, and you make it on in that way, and you can get you some more lugs later. He said, man, that's a great idea, and he done it. And he got through, and he looked back, and the guy was still looking at him through the bars, and he said to him, he said, you're in that place, and he said, and yet you're that wise about helping me with the lug nuts. And the guy said, well, it's easy. Said, I'm crazy, but I'm not stupid. And there is a difference sometime between the two. And you and I, the world may want to call us crazy, but we're not stupid. Amen. Like they are, amen. I want to read just three verses here in chapter 6 of the book of Hosea, chapter 6. And this is the prophet Hosea writing about things that will not fully be fulfilled to over 2,800 years after he wrote them. So we know he got it from God and writing what God wants. He don't care. He don't have any fear or favor to anybody. And he says here in chapter 6, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain into the earth. Now, what Hosea is talking about here is the restoration of Israel at the second advent of Christ. So, you know, it's yet ahead. What he wrote is yet ahead. And verses 1 through 3 takes place during what you and I as Bible believers, if you've been to a good church, has taught you about the tribulation period, about the coming millennial reign when Christ will set up his kingdom on this earth. And so Hosea is telling us something about that, and he's putting it into a series of pictures or types of days. Now, you read in the Bible a couple of three times where the Lord says this. He makes a statement that one day is with 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And so here you have 3 days involved. They're all future days, something we can get a hold of here. Come and let us return to the Lord. Now, he's talking about Israel. And Israel is far from God. And the prophets, all of them, writing over and over and over, trying to get Israel back with God and right with God, and predicting what's going to happen if they don't get right with God. And so right here, he makes a comparison that we can make an analogy of here tonight. He says in verse 2, after 2 days, will he revive us? Now, one day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. The old-time rabbis, the old-time Jews, believed that the earth was so created with Adam and Eve, and that it would run a course of 6,000 years. And then, just like the seventh day was a day of rest, that the 7,000 years would be a time of rest when the Lord would come back, set up his kingdom. It'd be a time the lion and the lamb could lay down together. It'd be a time when the rose bush did not have thorns. It would be a time when God's kingdom would be different, where the child could pet the snake on the head, where the lion and the lamb could lay down together. And that's what's involved in what we call the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it's done in heaven. That's a kingdom age, a millennial day, and it's talking about it right here. Now, he said, after 2 days, he'll revive us. Now, think about our timing tonight as we think about 2019. Think about it like this. If it was 4 days from the creation, basically to the cross, from Adam to the second Adam, which was the Lord Jesus, and then from that point on, another 2,000 years, and we're counting now 2019 coming on us. And that could be that the 2 days. So you got 4 days from Adam to Christ. You got 2 days now from Christ till now. And if we start counting, not at the birth of Christ, but if we start counting at the resurrection and ascension of Christ, then the 2 days aren't quite up, but they almost are. We're getting very close. You know what ought to excite you and I about 2019? The Lord could come. In fact, there's a good chance that he will. I'm not setting any dates. I'm just saying the Bible is being fulfilled all the way. And this third day in these three verses here is talking about the day that he'll raise them up, and they will live in that time we call the millennial reign or the golden age. Now, you had a lot of politicians through history, kings and others, that promised to bring in the golden age. They couldn't do it. But Jesus is going to do it one day. When his kingdom is set up, he's going to come back, and he's going to do it. Now, we live in a crazy, crazy day today. Even in churches, stuff's going on that our forefathers would have never even dreamed of or suspected. Crazy stuff. I don't know. I could give you a lot of little examples. I think it was down south of us here a few miles that a church had a wedding ceremony for dogs. Yeah, they put a little tux on a little chihuahua and a little white gown on another chihuahua, and they married them in the church. I don't know where they went on their honeymoon. Now, some of you, I'm going to say this, and I'm not being mean about it. I think we ought to be very kind about it. Recently, we've had a lady bringing a dog in our church. Anybody see it? Raise your hand if you've seen it. All right, right here in the middle, because that's where they've been sitting. Right here in the middle. Now, some of the folks have checked it out, and I just got the information tonight that the lady has a problem, and this is a federally licensed dog. You say, is it legal for it to be in church? Legal for them to be anywhere, but of course the church can make its own rules. You ought to be kind. First thing you ought to do is find out if the lady's saved and talk to her. I think she may have a little problem. Then find out if the dog's saved. Now I'm being a little mean. Just can't resist it sometimes. One of the kids back there did tell me when I gave the invitation and I said, would you lift your hand? The dog lifted a paw. They told me that. And I'm a gullible preacher. I just believe everything you tell me. Amen. But with all the fun about it, don't we live in a strange age? Wow, we really do. And a lot of things just unbelievable anymore today. But as God's people, I hate to say this, but we're all made out of flesh and blood, and you know what helps us? Something that will inspire us helps us. What we need to be revived is to first have some inspiration. Get inspired. If you don't get inspired, you may do it out of duty, but it'll be a lot better if you do it with excitement and if you do it with zeal. There's a difference. Stephen, we went out on the shooting range since they've been here with, and yes, we love guns, love our Second Amendment, amen. But anyway, we went out with the grandson and done some shooting, and Steve Stanick helped us out. So if anybody's to blame him. But all joking aside, we had a good time. But while we was out there talking, Stephen reminded me of something that happened before he was born. My wife and I and another couple or two couples from the church went deer hunting. We went deer hunting with bow and arrows. And we were up in the big woods, and that morning we didn't get anything. And we came back in about to freeze and all that. It was in North Florida. And came back in to fix lunch. And while we were getting all that done, we had a target up, and we were doing some bow and arrow shooting. Now, that time, I want you to understand, I was really somebody. I had a bow that was a 65-pound pull. Now, some of you men know what that is. It takes some pull to pull it, brother. But anyway, we were out there playing around, shooting at the targets, and we got the girls out there, got our wives out there, and we were going to get them to shoot. And I headed my bow and arrow with a great big dangerous hunting head on it to my wife. And I said, shoot toward the target. Well, she couldn't pull it that far, and it'd just flop over. And she tried it two or three times. It'd just fall 5 foot in front of her. And some of the rest of them shot, and so when I ran down to the target, and when I was down there, I was being cute, and she still had my bow in there, and I said, hey, shoot me. Should not have done that. My inspiration's where I'm getting to. She's gone, and that arrow comes just whistling through the air, man. And I'm not kidding you. I had to twist quickly, and it went right into the target. Everybody was white-faced. I was worse. It was that close. And I'm talking about with a bad hunting head on it. All of them arrived at the same conclusion. She had inspiration. She couldn't do it until she got inspired. And you and I won't keep serving God if we don't stay inspired. And we ought to be looking at some things that will inspire us. And there's nothing going to inspire us any more than to look at the Bible and say, God said that was going to happen. It is happening. And His Word, we know it's true. We know it. We believe it. We have faith in it. But when you see it, it inspires you, don't it? It does me. And we ought to know that we ought to be inspired because we know we're in the end times. There's no doubt about it. Daniel chapter 12 tells us over there that where knowledge will be increased in the last day. Many will run to and fro. We're talking about people catching airplanes. My grandson will catch a plane, and in 4 or 5 hours, he'll be all the way across the nation out in California. You can't imagine that hardly. I do it once in a while, and I say, how in the world can you get on here and cover 1,000 miles? And in 3 or 4 hours or less, you're off over here. That's an age that my grandpa couldn't imagine. We're in the day that Daniel said would happen. many would run to and fro, and knowledge would be increased. And that is so true. We look around today, and we have so many things that we can hardly even describe ourselves. They're talking about putting chips in people's hands. They're talking about our DNA. They're talking about all this stuff that our forefathers would not have any idea of whatsoever about. And then we see Israel on the scene, don't we? That's prediction made and now fulfilled. I mean, back in 1948, taking the Temple Mount in 1967, and the pressure is still on. And Brother Lee, I didn't have time to read it. He gave me a bunch of information current right now happening over in Israel. All of that tells me one big thing. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. He is coming soon. And that does inspire me. All kind of signs we could talk about, the increase of earthquakes and all the other stuff like that. Even the heathen nations and people we'd call heathen, some of them smarter than we thought they were. For instance, the Hopi Indians out west, they believed in their writings, and it's out there where you can see it. They said that before the breath maker, that was their name for God. God did breathe on Adam in the garden, didn't he? And he said the breath maker will come when the whole world is in a worldwide web. Web will cover the whole earth. Did you ever hear of the World Wide Web? Most of you are involved in it one way or the other. It's got you caught like a little fly, many of you. You're addicted to it, but it's there. It's there. That's the age. And even the heathen world is saying that the Lord himself, the breath maker, the creator, that he is the one that's going to come back soon. And so much that inspires me. Now, I want to put it this way. That inspires me. Does it scare you? It scares you if you're not ready to meet him. But if you are, it inspires you to serve him and to look for him like the scripture admonishes us to. Something else inspires me is I have his word, God's very word in my hand. Say, well, what would God like to say to me? Well, read his instruction book. That's it. His perfected word, amen. I said it this morning in Sunday school. I said this, God raised up translators, I believe the best ones in the world, to put the Bible in the English, because English is going to be the end time worldwide language. And if you want to get into a foreign nation right now as a missionary, you can very likely even get into China to go in. If you'll promise to go in their schools and teach English, they'll allow you a lot of freedom in presenting the gospel, and you can't hardly get in any other way. You know what? They're concerned because the worldwide language is going to be English. Well, that's a prediction in the Bible. You read about the animals in Daniel that represent the nations. And what does the lion represent? Represents England. England's an English-speaking nation. When they are setting the colonies out all over the world, they sent English all over the world. They sent the Bible in many places, and it was this one. It was this one. Now, very many years ago, some of us from the church here went down into the Bahamas, and we were down there helping them with the Christian schools and the curriculum and that sort of thing. And to my amazement, I was pleasantly pleased to see at that late hour, I'm talking about 25 years ago, at that late hour in what we would call the public schools, the government schools, because down in the Bahamas, you remember, England was in control of that. You still drive on the wrong side of the road down in the Bahamas. Did you know that? That's an English fault. There you go. But I didn't drive. I'm afraid I'd go around a corner and forget which nation I was in. Amen. But anyway, down there, the public state schools were still teaching the King James Bible, not the new one, not the NIV, not the New English Bible, but the old King James. That's what they were teaching. And of course, it originated in England, and God raised up a king to authorize what you and I have is the King James Version. And by the way, you got some liars that want to say King James was a homosexual. No, he wasn't. His love letters to his wife and his big family of kids disprove that. Enemy. And the enemy is still around. Dr. Stringer, that was our college president here for a while, wrote a good book you ought to get on that, about that particular attack. But we have his word. God has preserved his word. It's his prophetic word. And as we see it being fulfilled, as we see the tribulation period and all the end time events building up, for instance, in the book of Revelation, we realize in the tribulation period some folks are going to have their heads chopped off. Did you ever read that? If you won't take the mark and the number of the beast, you get your head chopped off. You know, early years of history, at various times, the headsman, the axeman, chopped off heads in England. In France, they used the guillotine, right? Do you understand now in America, and I've told you this before, and even my home state of Georgia and some out west are storing up guillotines. Now, that's kind of strange, isn't it? What do you need a guillotine for? It's only good to chop off heads. How come you need thousands of them, like 3,000 in storage in Georgia? I had my secretary call up there and make sure it was true. And 3,000 guillotines? Well, I can get 10 or 20 shaves out of one blade, can't you? How many heads could you chop off with one blade? Something's going on, folks, and there's a head chopping coming in the book of Revelation. We think of the Muslims today. They're chopping off heads everywhere. We even say, well, maybe they're going to get in power. Maybe they are. Don't know. But I'll tell you this, what God said will happen as he said it, when it will come at his timing, it will happen. The tribulation period, I don't want to be around. Got a lot of folks saying the church got to go through the tribulation period. Oh, no. Oh, no. Somebody said, well, we got it too easy as Christians today. I agree we have. But it's not based on that. It's based on the fact that Jesus saved us by grace. We don't pay for one of our little sins. He paid for it all. We don't endure to the end. That's a scripture they take out of context for the tribulation period. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe, and by grace we're saved. And our name is written in the Lamb's book of life by grace. And so the prophetic scripture inspires me, no matter how the flesh wilts sometime. I still can stay inspired on the inside, looking for Jesus to come. And knowing I have his word. The tribulation period's got a lot of awful events in it. Really has. I'm not planning on staying in. I don't know how bad it'll get before the Lord calls his people out, but he is. He's given that message to the whole world through years. How many of you ever saw the cartoon-like thing, and it was made into movies even before the talkies, before the movies had talk, and they have the script on the bottom? Did you ever see the, what do they call it, the Pearls of Pauline or something? They'd have this woman tied to the railroad track, and the train is coming. Anybody ever see anything like that? Well, that particular story or that particular event has been made through all kind of novels, all kind of books, all kind of movies. Think about it. You ever go to an old shoot 'em up cowboy movie? I mean, back when they were good ones. And the Indians have the soldiers pinned down in the desert, or has the wagon train pinned down, or they're in a spot. And all of a sudden the cavalry comes and you hear the horn, like Brother Burke blows. Better than that, maybe. Not sure. He does a good job. But anyway, what do we got happening there? You got people being rescued. You got help coming. You got the victory note being sound. You got the trumpet being blown. You got the cavalry coming. And in the end of the tribulation period, the Calvary is coming. And Jesus is coming back leading it upon a white horse. That message has been portrayed through novels and books and movies, but it's right out of the Bible. It's right out of the Bible. Read Revelation 19. The Calvary comes in Revelation 19. It comes, and when the powers, Satan's power on earth, the rulers are going to cry for the rocks and mountains to follow them and hide them from the face of him that sits upon the throne. Wow, that ought to inspire you. You're on the winning side. Quit acting like you're a loser. We are winners. And it's going to say, well, it's bad. No, it's going to get better. Amen. And somebody said it's darkest just before dawn. Well, if that's the case, it's about to dawn, because it's pretty dark. Amen. It's dark in this old world, no doubt about it. But you know, it inspires me to know His word's going to be fulfilled. It inspires me to know that people can still hear and know for sure they've been saved. I suspect that was one of the greatest revelations to me, because I didn't know the gospel, didn't know any Bible, hadn't heard any preaching, really. And I came and sat in a church similar to this, heard the preacher saying what I say all the time, and to hear the good news that Jesus Christ took my place and paid the price of my sin, and I could know I was saved now, that I didn't have to face those old dirty, rotten sins, that they're already wiped clean. Hey, that's the best news I ever heard. I've never heard any better. And I want to say to you, that keeps me inspired. You ever have a bad day? Now, don't pretend you don't. We all do. But work on yourself when you're having that kind of day. Work on yourself. Just think how much worse it could be if you didn't know Jesus. And then think how good it is because you do know Him. Man, that'll revive you. You have to work on yourself, because this old flesh wants to take you the wrong way and pull you the wrong way and lie to you and deceive you. But in Jesus, we're winners. We're winners. And we have the Spirit witness with inside of us. I don't believe that being saved is a feeling, but I believe if you are saved, you ought to feel it. There's a difference. This old pulpit was here. It's been painted a few times. When I came 48 years ago, talking about the button. And I've been preaching over this pulpit a long time. Been preaching on the radio a long time, even though to start with, a little radio station out there, later we owned it, and of course it's melted into the one we have now. But in those early years, I finally really got high tech. I got it wired into the pulpit where I didn't have to go out to the radio station. Did have some complaint from the neighborhood because people would pick up their telephone and often they'd hear me preaching on it. Truth. I had the telephone company come to me and, "You got to stop that." I said, "No, it's not my fault. It's yours. You got to stop messing with my sermons with your telephones." And I flipped it back on them and I won anyway. Anyway, during those days, I had a 15-minute radio program on Sunday morning, about 8 o'clock, 8:15. And I did that for a year or two or more before things changed a little bit. And I did that. There was a good-hearted brother that came on the radio before me. And he was not a Baptist, which immediately makes somebody suspect with me. But anyhow, somebody said, "You believe Baptists are the only ones going to heaven?" No. I believe anybody that's saved in Jesus is going to heaven. However, why not go first class and be a Baptist? Amen. All right, I got off on that. But I'd preach 15 minutes on the radio, and the guy'd come on ahead of me, and I'd listen to him, and he meant well, and he was doing pretty good as a whole, but here's the way he would do every week. Every week, he'd end his program like this. He'd say, "Now, we want a point of contact with you. And if you want to feel something, put your hand on the radio as I close in prayer." I got so sick of hearing that. "Put your hand on the radio for a point of contact, and we'll close in prayer." Well, I was mean one morning. I came on behind him, and I said, "Folks, if you really want to feel something, if you really want a point of contact, don't put your hand on the radio, put it in the radio." I ruined his closing. He never used that closing again. Nah, that's probably mean, but the truth is, you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and you may not feel what somebody else says they feel. But you know, don't you? Amen. You know The Bible says the Spirit of God bringeth salvation, hath appeared unto all men. The Bible says the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You hear a song sometime, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You read the Word sometime, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Somebody may be talking, and you may get a blessing that they didn't even know you got from a word they shared with you. That's the way the Holy Spirit of God can work. He's like the wind. You don't see him, but you can feel him. You can feel him in the right way, amen? I tell you what, keep inspired, stay revived. The Spirit witness with inside will help you do that. And you know, the truth is, if we're going to stay revived, we need to stay inspired. And one of the greatest inspirations to me over and over through my saved life is to know that God answered a prayer. You been there? Now, I'll be honest with you, while he answers all of my prayers, he don't answer them the way I want him to all the time, the way I ask him to all the time. But he does say yes, no, or wait, and that's harder when he says wait than it is sometimes to hear no. But yes, I've seen some times when it had to be God. It just had to be God. It couldn't have been any other way. And that inspires and revives me above anything I could hardly describe to you. I could go down the litany list here that we have through this 48 years of ministry. It's been a lot of things, a lot of ways, and God has been overabundantly good and blessed above what we could even expect. And I say that totally, yet sometimes there's been specific things that just got inside of me and said it couldn't have happened no other way. God did it. Amen. And man, that brings your spirit up, revives you, inspires you. Many of you have heard me tell the story about when I was looking for Sonia's wedding ring on the sidewalk in Orlando, and God got in that. I'm not going to tell it to you again. I'm not going to tell you again about the camp well at camp that we need an artesian well, and the oldest well driller in the county said that don't happen. That's just an accident. I said, but we don't have any power. We got to have one. Don't have a pump. We got to have a flowing well, artesian well. He said, preacher, can't order that. I said, well, I prayed about it, and I believe God will give it to us. He said, are you going to pay me anyhow, whether it happens or not? I said, I said, how much a foot? And he told me, and I said, he said, how deep you want? I said, well, at that price, I can only afford 300 foot. When he come back in the office with his eyes that big to tell me, he said, what are you going to do with that lake out there? I said, what are you talking about? He said, that well is flowing everywhere. I said, how deep did you go? He said, 300 feet. And he hit it right on the button, man, like an oil well. Pew! And it's still doing it. Amen. It's still doing it tonight. How many years ago? Ooh, back in the 70s, was it? It's been a while. I know God can answer prayer. Sometimes on what you and I might not think is that bigger thing, God thinks it's bigger than we think it is sometimes. Isn't that a wonderful truth? I've seen young faith put some of us older folks to shame. Just believe in God. Just believe in God. I could tell you story after story. I can tell you about the lady in the country church where I pastored for 3 years. All the doctors said she was dead. All the machines said she was dead. The lines were straight out with all the machines and tubes. I had driven 25 miles from the Gant Lake area to the Leesburg Hospital after they called me and said she was dead. Now, I drive fast enough, but 25 miles takes some time. Takes some time. I walked in. It was a Catholic hospital, and so they had some rules according to their faith. And as I walked in, they had the family still held outside the door. They had her in there on the tubes, laying like this. I know I'm telling some of you an old story, but bear with me. I'm going senile. You know that, don't you? If you don't believe it, ask my wife. All joking aside, family's standing outside. Little nurse in there with the with the lady, and when I walked in, she made a statement to me like this. She called me Father. It's Catholic hospital. And I came in. Well, Father, it's good to see you. We can't let the family in until she has the last rites. Y'all know the Catholic last rites stuff. I knew I had to play along a little bit. I went on over there, and I tried to be a little witness to the nurse. I said, look, Sister Dobson was a Christian. She was a believer. And when she leaves the body, she'll be absent from the body. She'll be with the Lord. I gave her the scripture on it. She didn't know what I was talking about. She wanted me to do something religious. She wanted me to pretend to give the person the last rites so they could bring in the family. And so I had to do something religious. So I pulled out my New Testament. I opened it up to the 23rd Psalm. And I stood there and read the Psalm. And I prayed. And the family's still outside the door. She's opened the door. When I got in, they were going to witness the last rites. And I can make myself cry over that. And you know how long ago that's been? That's been 50 years. 48 here, 3 there. It was somewhere in the middle of that ministry or near the end of it. Close to 50 years. That's a while. Anyway, I started praying. And I heard my voice like it was out there instead of me. I heard my voice. I heard what I said. And it went something like this. I said, Dear God, I know Sister Dobson belongs to you. I know that you have all power. And I know that even now, if you wanted to bring her back, you could. And I thought, what are you talking about? Those folks hear you. Why are you embarrassing yourself? Why are you saying words like that? And I tried to kind of straighten it up a little bit. It come out again, very much the same way. And I ended it. And when I looked back at that body, when I looked at it before the eyes was open, she hadn't even closed the eyes. I mean, they were glass. I mean, they didn't blink. They were just, she was dead according to all human measurements. The machines were straight out. She was laying there that way. But when I got through praying and looked back at her, I saw something I had not seen before. I saw life in the eyes. They still were not moving, but I saw something different. I saw a glint. I saw something. And again, I fooled myself, and I started talking to her. And I said, Sister Dobson, if it's all right to go on to heaven, or if it's all right with you for the Lord to leave you here, just blink your eyes. And they blinked. They blinked. Can't help it. The nurse said to me, it's just a nervous reaction. She saw it too. Just a nervous reaction. But I didn't stop. I said, Sister Dobson, if it's all right to go on to heaven, blink your eyes twice. She blinked them 2 more times. And I started playing that game with her. And they rushed in. The family rushed in. And I had an old guy that didn't like me. And I know that surprises you, but he didn't like me. He was part of the family. He'd said some bad things. I didn't shake his hand or something. Anyway, something serious like that. And he said, she's been dead. I mean, he just kind of gave me the horse laugh. And I kept asking her questions. She kept blinking her eyes. And that little nurse took off running. You could hear her feet just going down that hard floor toward the nurse's station. And in a little, I mean seconds, here come the doctor in. Now the doctor owned a chicken yard not far from my church I pastored. I never did like him for that chicken yard. If you opened the windows, you could smell it any time and you was having church. But he come running in, and I'll never forget, he come running in, and the family was at the foot of the bed, and I was standing there. He come running in, and he said, everybody out, everybody out. And they all started scrambling through the door, and I started going with them. He reached over and got me and said, you stay. He said, you stay. He grabbed a needle, and let me tell you, it wasn't pretty, but he put a long needle in that lady. And when he did, that machine went beep, beep, beep. And I kept standing there. And she kept answering me by blinking her eyes. Finished the story off. She was alive when I resigned that church and left. Over a year later. I really be honest with you. I thought she's going to tell me about being in heaven and the Lord giving her permission to come back. But she didn't say that. She said, I don't remember anything. I was kind of disappointed in that. It was a Wednesday night. We was fixing to have church service. My wife can tell you. A little church in the country at that time, Wednesday night, 35 people, 40 people, big crowd for Wednesday night. But not that Wednesday night. There was no cell phones around, but somehow it got around. And when we had church that night, it was packed full of people on Wednesday night. And everybody asking me what happened. I had won the man that managed the chicken yard. His name was Bert, by the way. And Brother Bert, I had won him and some of his boys to the Lord. And he was working for the doctor managing the chicken yard. So he told me later, he said, when the old doctor came back by dark, late afternoon when I was at the hospital, said, when he came back by, he said, I quickly ran to him and said, Doc, what happened at the hospital this afternoon? He said, well, what do you mean? He said, you know what I mean. He said, the whole neighborhood is calling everybody all over the place that Sister Dobson was dead and she came back. And the doctor said to him, said, that's what it looked like. Said, that's what it looked like. And Brother Bert said to him, said, Doc, can you explain that? He said, no, I can't. And then he done this because he was a new Christian. He hadn't been saved very long. He said, Doc, do you think somebody up there might have had a hand in it? Pointing up. And Brother Bert told me, the old doc said, that's the only way I can explain it. I want to say something to you that inspires me till this day to retell it 50 years later. I mean, it happened. Was she dead? Well, medical world will say no. I don't know. I know one thing. The machine said she was dead. The doctor said she was dead. The nurse said she was dead. The family said she was dead. But God had a reason to do something special. And he did. And he did. As we think about 2019, let's don't drag into it. Let's charge into it. We on the winning side. We got enough to inspire us to take us till Jesus comes. Let's give him a chance to use us. I believe he will. Somebody you've been procrastinating on witnessing to, no telling what would happen if you would tell them about Jesus. Some answer to prayer that you think's impossible? No, God can answer that prayer. Let's don't drag into it. Let's charge on. Let me challenge you tonight. And I know we've got service tomorrow night. And it'll be watch night, and we'll try to get close to God as we can. But let me challenge you tonight. Maybe come to the altar, pray where you're at, and ask God to inspire you for this new year to do something special for him. If you're here and you're unsaved, we invite you to come. I'll take a Bible, show you how to be saved and how you can know it. But if God's people just got revived and inspired, souls would get saved right and left. That's always the way it works. How about it tonight? Are you willing to give this coming year to the Lord if he gives us that long? He may not. But if he does, let's try to go into it revived and inspired to do something for God. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I've told some old stuff. I've relived it myself in my heart. I just need it myself, Father, to stay inspired and revived and to fight the weakness of the flesh and the problems of the world and all the critical things and seems to be going on. But Lord, I got to remind myself, I'm on the winning side because, Father, you're the one that I'm trusting. You're the one I'm following. I pray you'd bless the invitation tonight. I pray if there's one here unsaved, that they'd come and receive Christ tonight. But I pray for your people. I'd pray, Father, we wouldn't have a letdown here after Christmas and after the holidays, but we'd perk up and realize, Father, that you want to inspire us to keep going till you come. Bless the invitation, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to ask you to do whatever God's asked you to do as we sing.
All to Jesus.